Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Some Zimbabweans threaten to stop children from going to school over the country's national pledge.
We are asking all children in Zimbabwe, not just Fulawayo, to boycott the first day because we will not be forced to take a pledge and loyalty to something that we do not understand.
Other Zimbabweans say they have not yet enjoyed the fruits of independence.
We are still in the wilderness, and until we reach Canaan, it's not yet Uhuru. ZANU-PF and the 36 years of independence have given us an illusion.
And as usual, we'll focus on women's issues. Stay tuned. Some Zimbabweans are threatening to stop children from going to school over the country's prescribed national pledge. The Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education introduced the national pledge this year that will be recited by pupils and students in all schools. Parents say this is unconstitutional. Usen Sibanda, who attended a meeting convened by concerned parents in Bulawayo, tells Studio 7's Chris Gande that most attendants agreed that children won't attend classes next week if the government insists that they should recite the national pledge.
People are rejecting the national pledge for the simple reason that there was no consultation. We're not told about it. This is just being imposed upon us. And also, we realize that this pledge is like, to us as Christians, is like a religious ritual. Because if you make a vow and then bring a gift for that vow, it means you're actually conducting a religious ritual. But we are not sure who are we doing all this allegiance to.
So eventually, what was the outcome, the decision that
the
you took?
The outcome was that, at first, we are having an urgent constitutional court application that is going to be done. Of course, there's already one that has been lodged, but we want to lodge one as a whole group of people from Bulawayo, as church leaders, as residents, as parents. The second thing is that we will not allow our children, we will boycott the first day. We are asking all children in Zimbabwe, not just Bulawayo, to boycott the first day because we will not be forced to take a pledge and loyalty to something that we do not understand. Then the third thing is that we have decided to hold a big prayer meeting on Wednesday. This will be in Bulawayo. But we are talking to the other hub structures that Christian Alliance has got and that other organizations that we are working with have got. And also we've done a petition where we have already, just today only, we've collected more than 20 to 30,000 signatures.
That was Reverend Usen Sibanda of the Christian Alliance of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Bulawayo. The government claims that the national pledge would motivate people to cherish their Zimbabwean identity. The European Union, or EU, says it remains committed in promoting civic society organizations despite renewing relations with Zimbabwe. It says non-governmental organizations play a critical role in creating democratic societies. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba has more.
Speaking during a launch of some projects funded by the European Union in Bulawayo recently, the head of the EU delegation to Zimbabwe, Ambassador Philip Van Dam, said the objective of the EU's support is to improve civil society organizations' capacity to effectively participate in Zimbabwe's public policies and programs, which he noted is critical in a democratic society. Ambassador Van Dam said, although the EU re-engaged the Zimbabwean government through the signing of the National Indicative Programme, or NIP, in February last year, that re-engagement will not result in turning its back on civil society.
I would like to reiterate that today's launch reflects the EU's commitment to civil society, if still needed. An empowered civil society representing empowered citizens is a crucial component of any democratic society. And to encourage continuing policy dialogue with all stakeholders.
The EU provided funding for 5 civil society projects grouped in different thematic areas, including enhancing citizens' participation in policy making through the strengthening of community-based organizations. Lizwe Jamela of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, whose organization is among five recipients of the funding, said ordinary Zimbabweans are not yet aware of the rights that they enjoy under Zimbabwe's constitution. Jamela said the organization would use part of the funding to raise awareness of the constitution.
We are trying to provide a platform for dialogue on the roles of communities and local authorities.
Responding to a question from Studio 7 on the sidelines of the meeting about when the EU is likely to consider removing targeted sanctions on President Robert Mugabe and some senior ruling ZANU-PF officials, given some views that the measures are no longer effective or relevant, Van Dam said there are some outstanding issues that need to be dealt with. He refused to elaborate, adding that the EU remains in dialogue with the Zimbabwean government.
Indeed, our ultimate goal is full normalization of our relations, and there are still indeed a couple of issues outstanding, but that the best way of reaching that point of full normalization of our cooperation is by engaging at a practical level, rebuilding trust and confidence, and trying to sort out the remaining outstanding issues through dialogue and engagement.
The political dialogue with the government is conducted with the government, not with the press.
The EU, along with the United States and other nations, have been providing assistance to Zimbabwe since independence. Relations between Harare and Western countries have in recent years been sour, as the ruling ZANU-PF party has accused them of seeking to effect regime change. Government has also often accused civil society organizations of being agents of that agenda. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
Some people in Manicaland province say they have not been able to enjoy the fruits of independence due to serious social, economic and political problems in Zimbabwe. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo reports from the provincial capital, Mutare.
One of the disgruntled local people is Craig Chimeza of the newly formed Zimbabwe People First, led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. Chimeza of Watsomba communal lands about 30 kilometers north of Mutare says most Zimbabweans feel let down by the ruling ZANU-PF party.
We celebrate independence. We celebrate 36 years of independence like Israelites out of Egypt, but not in Canaan. We are still in the wilderness. And until we reach Canaan, it's not yet Uhuru, right? ZANU-PF and the 36 years of independence have given us an illusion, a mirage of what independence can be, of what freedom can be. The issue now, 36 years after independence, it should be an inspiration to every son of the soil, to every Zimbabwean, that the life Kasukwere has, the life Obed Mpofu leads, the mansion the president have, can be a reality to every son, every son and daughter of Zimbabwe. None left the war, none came into Zimbabwe with flash and posh cars.
Chimeza says that, as far as he is concerned, there is need to end political polarization in the country in order for people to enjoy the fruits of independence.
They can see the dream, if resources are equitably distributed, that they also can claim for themselves. And it is that Joshua generation that says, yes, thank you to Moses, but we will take sons of Israel into Canaan, into a Zimbabwe where there is no polarity, into a Zimbabwe where there is no division by creed, color, or tribe, into a Zimbabwe where opportunity is for all and not just for a particular party or family.
James Sinyoro of Oz Communal Lands echoes the same sentiments, noting that it is strange that the ruling elite are clinging to power when they are unable to cater for the needs of Zimbabweans.
Zimbabweans celebrated independence from 1980, and thereafter, the majority of Zimbabweans have not derived any meaningful benefit from the fruits of independence. There is no social or economic transformation of the majority of Zimbabweans. As you may see at the moment, the economy is very difficult for the ordinary citizens, and the government is not really answering to the economic expectations of the people at the moment.
Senyoro and Chimeza are not the only disgruntled locals, as people like Itai Tangwena of Nyangas Kairis village believes that there is nothing to celebrate due to the current harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe. But ZANU-PF activist and youth wing member Silas Saruchera says independence means a lot.
The meaning of independence is that people are free in Zimbabwe. We are in a free country. Everything we do is free.
It is still remains to be seen whether the situation will improve in the near future so that Zimbabweans may enjoy the fruits of independence from British rule. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The human rights situation in North Korea remains abysmal, according to the 2015 State Department Human Rights Report. The country remains an authoritarian state, which has been led by the Kim family for almost 70 years. The government of Kim Jong-un continues to rule with an iron fist, denying freedoms of speech, press, assembly, association, religion, and movement. One of the most infamous aspects of the North Korean regime's repression is its network of prison camps. According to the Human Rights Report, there are reportedly between 80,000 and 120,000 political prisoners in North Korea. Torture continues to be a common occurrence in North Korean detention facilities, according to numerous defector accounts and non-governmental organizations. Abuses include severe beatings, electric shock, prolonged periods of exposure to the elements, humiliation such as public nakedness, and confinement in tiny punishment cells. Mothers were, in some cases, reportedly forced to watch the infanticide of their newborn babies. According to the United Nations Commission of Inquiry's 2014 report, North Korean officials had, in some cases, prohibited live births in prison and ordered forced abortions as recently as 2013. The Korea Institute for National Unification, or KINU, a South Korean government-affiliated think tank, reported that in some cases of live birth, the prison guards killed the infant or left the baby to die. KINU also reported cases of guards sexually abusing or exploiting female prisoners. In past years, defectors reported that authorities subjected Christian inmates to harsher punishment if their faith was made public. The United States condemns in the strongest terms possible the human rights abuses in North Korea. The U.S. believes all people everywhere, including North Koreans, are entitled to fundamental rights. As U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said, people everywhere want to be free and in control of their lives.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Tonight, we're gladly joined by the MDCT legislator for Harare West, Jesse Majome, who has initiated a petition that she calls the Hands Off Harare Petition, which seeks to stop the interference by the Minister of Local Government, Xavier Kasukuwere, in the affairs of city councils, which she says is breaching Section 2642A of the Constitution. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Majome. Tell us about your petition. Why have you decided to start this campaign?
It's a petition to encourage the residents of Harare to take up the power that they were given by the Constitution. Power was devolved to the residents of Harare and to all the other residents of other municipalities and also local authorities to decide what happens to them through their elected council. The Constitution gave power to councils that are put in place by residents to make decisions. The minister no longer has power at law to either make decisions on behalf of local authorities or to fire them or to just run local authorities. He doesn't have that anymore. The Constitution says that we, the residents of any locality, have the power to make our own decisions and must say what happens to us. So this is a call to residents of Harare in particular, either those who are in Harare today or those who have properties in Harare and relatives in Harare who are connected to Harare, to say to the minister, no, respect the Constitution, respect us, respect our views by signing that petition to remind him that he must let the city of Harare run itself like all other cities. The High Court has even given him an order to remind him that no, he cannot run councils anymore, but he's not listening. So I think the residents of Harare need to raise their voice, and I'm encouraging people to go on to www.change.org or go to my Facebook page and get the link and sign the petition and encourage others to sign it as well.
What prompted you to take up this initiative?
I understand the law and the constitution, and I was privileged to participate in the writing of it. And in the writing of this new constitution, we especially took care to make sure that we remove that undue power that the minister used to use to abuse his power and kick councils out and make political decisions for his benefit and not for the people. And I am particularly moved because I had a similar experience in 2003. I was elected as councillor for Ward 1, Wange, and chair of the local board, which is effectively like the mayor. I was unlawfully suspended and even unlawfully dismissed by the minister of local government then, using the powers that he seemed to have in terms of the law. Ironically, I was suspended and dismissed for suspending the chief executive officer, and the minister gave me an order to reinstate them, and I refused because I wanted due process to be taken, and he continued to ignore and just dismiss me. And I couldn't do much about it except filing an urgent application in the High Court in Blawai, which is still pending up to now since 2003. But now, because of experiences, he then moved to Harare, and then he moved to Gweru, and as well as Chitungwiza. He went through all councils of the opposition. I was the first one that he kicked out. And then in writing the constitution, we were wiser. We made sure that we will not let the democratic will of residents of local authorities be subverted by one person because he doesn't like the opposition leading local government. So we've got those powers there. So now, Harare city residents and other residents can do something about it now because the constitution is very clear. It says so, and the High Court correctly interpreted the constitution. So this is why I particularly moved this.
Where do people find your petition, and how many signatures do you need before you actually take it to the minister?
Right now, I've got 170 signatures, and they've actually, for an online petition, it's encouraging. Since the minister purported to threaten the council with firing it and also with dismissing the mayor, and with what he's done now to claim to suspend the mayor, the numbers have gone up. But, you know, I would really like some more signatures, and especially women. I'm appealing to women because I notice women don't, for some reasons, they don't usually participate online in public political issues. But and I really thank those who signed, and it's mainly men and the women who signed, and encourage even more women and men to sign the petition, because this really affects us, those who either bought properties, pay rates, or even just live in the city. We need our city to be run properly. We need the council to be able to make decisions if in its best interest without being afraid of the minister.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Honorable Jesse Majome, the MDCT Member of Parliament for Harare West, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
You are welcome.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a very wonderful weekend.
Purple rain, purple rain.
The music of the late music icon Prince, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. Some Zimbabweans threaten to stop children from going to school over the country's national pledge. And others say they have not yet enjoyed the fruits of independence. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.